Hello, hello, fearless listeners. Are you ready for another episode of Let Fear Bounce? It's the podcast that's all about conquering challenges and facing our fears. I'm your host, Kim Langling, and each week we'll dive into inspiring stories, expert insights, and practical tips to help you turn your fear into your greatest ally. So sit back, relax, grab that cup of coffee, and let's discover how to make fear our bouncing board towards a life filled with endless possibilities right here on Let Fear Bounce. Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Let Fear Bounce. This is Kim Langling, your host, and I am so happy that you've decided to spend just a small part of your day with myself today and my special guest, Kenneth Carter III. Now, folks, this is going to be an amazing conversation. I've really been looking forward to having him on. Due to substance abuse and, well, selling cocaine, we'll just throw it right out there, he did spend a little stint in prison. And from there, today, he is now the CEO of a very successful logistic company. But first off, he is a U.S. Army veteran. Thank you for your service, sir. I appreciate it. He is a U.S. Army veteran, and in the military is where he gained his experience as a motor transport operator, and he found his passion for transportation and logistics. The energy that he felt from helping people succeed, after 16 years as a commercial truck driver, he started a job as a driver and was promoted in a few short months to regional manager for the Estes Express Lines. And the energy that he felt from helping people succeed made him want more of it. And eventually, he decided to go deeper into his learning journey and started his own logistics company in 2020. What a year to start a company. He is a firm believer in community and resilience, and he devotes his time mentoring youth and spreading optimism in business and personal growth with various nonprofit organizations, and provides private consultations for individuals dealing with substance abuse, lack of motivation, trauma, and career changes. Busy man, Mr. Carter. Thank you so much for being my guest today. I've really been looking forward to this conversation. Welcome.
Thank you, Kim. That was a great introduction. Now I have to make sure that I can hit all those points and prove it was good.
But thank you again for being my guest. So much stuff to talk about. And the name of the podcast, obviously, is Let Fear Bounce. And I want to find out where your fears came and how you were able to overcome them. And let's just start there. I know you have a history, you know, back in the day, substance abuse. You admitted freely that you sold cocaine, and that was why you spent some time in prison. When that was all happening, did you feel fear, or were you just kind of, you know, in this other zone?
That's a good question. The fear wasn't of the actual crimes that I was committing. The fear was being different in life.
Oh, wow. That's heavy.
Yes, it's the fear of being someone bigger or better than you are. So once I was in that situation, it was actually safer for me because I didn't have to prove anybody right, or I didn't have to prove anybody wrong. And then I also created my environment. I created the people I hung around with. And so therefore I was always the smartest one with the most money. And that's what makes it
easy. You were in control.
In control in the wrong way.
Interesting. Interesting how you worded all of that. Very interesting. So you weren't afraid of what it was you were doing. You were afraid of not having control.
Yes.
Wow. That's heavy. That's heavy. So while in prison, did a mental shift happen for you that you realized, you know what, I need to change all this and I want to do something else? Where was your nugget of hope in all of that?
Yeah. So when I first got in, I had the same mindset, the mentality of when I get out, I'm going to be smoking some weed and I'm going to be having fun and I'm going to go get right back into that life to make the money back that I've lost over the 3 years. And that was dangerous. And after seeing everyone in there and how they operated and the excuses they made, and there's a system in there with like numbers and letters. And after so many numbers and letters, you can see how many times people been in. And I started seeing people that's been in 4 times, 5 times, 6 times. And I started relating those stories to their actual reality. And those are the people who kept coming back. And I said, oh, I can't have another number. I can't have another letter. So therefore, I said, you know what? This is the day that I have to make a change and I have to figure this thing out. And just looking in the mirror one day, which I avoided, it's a makeshift mirror, but looking in that mirror every day, it was embarrassing. So I didn't look. And then after I had that epiphany, I stared at that mirror, I cried, and I said, this is it. I have to change.
Wow. I like, you know, you're not the first person I've talked to that said I couldn't look in the mirror. You know, for various reasons. And I think that's a really profound statement, I believe. I can't look in the mirror, or I couldn't look in the mirror. And then you could, and you broke down in tears. So you needed to break that way then, didn't you?
I did. And in that moment, I said, you know what? This is right where I need to be.
And you acknowledged it. You looked it right in the face.
I did. It was tough.
Oh, I can't even imagine how hard that would have been.
It was an out of body experience. I started to replay everything that I was, how I was living and how I was hurting people and putting myself before anybody else, no matter what the situation was. And as I started to replay that, I started to see like I was not a good person.
And no one wants to realize that at the end of the day.
No, you can trick yourself. You lie to yourself all day. It's like, well, I have money. So if I have money, I'm not that bad. Or I have friends, I'm not that bad. But you're not really looking at it deeper. And once you start to go deep and get that inner thought, those inner talks start talking to you, that's when you realize, okay, it's not what I see. It's how other people feel.
So did you have significant others in your life at that time that you knew you had to talk to after you were out of prison?
Yes. First and foremost, my family, my close family that was there for me, and then my girlfriend who was there for me, who went with me through the whole process and was going to be there when I got out. So I know I had to make a change.
And that's, you know, that's a lot for even if they are family members, that's a lot, you know, that you were blessed to have that support group.
Oh, definitely. I could not have done it without the family and the support and the phone calls. And I got a letter every single day. I mean, every single day I got a letter and from multiple people or different people. And that's what made a difference. It motivated me every day.
Because all these people that you probably didn't realize before, they believed in you before you did.
Yes. And that was the toughest thing. Even my mom's like, I can't believe you did that. I just don't see that. I still don't believe it. Even after we go to court and I get arrested, she still didn't believe it. And that hurt really bad.
Oh, I bet that. Yeah, that probably did. I can't imagine. I can't put myself in your shoes, but you faced all of that. You did what you had to do to get through it. And then here you are, you come out. So what is it that you did? What was your next step when you got out of prison and you had this mindset shift? You know, you're like, no, I'm going to do better. I'm going to be better. My life can't be like this anymore. I don't want to come back here. What is it that you did when you first got out to get on the path that you're on now?
Well, before I tell you what I did when I got out, I started to do it before I left. Yes, I changed my trajectory in that moment. I went and got self-help books. I didn't even know the prison had libraries because I was too busy playing cards. So I got a self-help book and I started reading on self-help books, and it's starting to help me figure out my strengths and my weaknesses. And so I started to list all my strengths, list all my weaknesses on half page each. And the strengths came like this. It was so fast. The weaknesses, I was like, oh, I don't have any weaknesses.
As you're sitting in prison.
Right. Right. Well, this, you are living in your weakness.
Right.
You know, it's crazy that we think that way. We protect ourselves. And I think that's the biggest issue, protecting ourselves from the reality to help us make a difference and make a change.
Because change, especially big change like that, knowing that you have to make a difference, there's fear in that.
Yes, that's the biggest fear.
Yes, but most people won't acknowledge it or call it that.
No, it's somebody else's fault.
Yeah. Always someone else's fault. Yeah, and that's a dangerous mindset to have.
It is, because you won't change. You're trying to change the people around you. You keep changing your circle of influences, your circle of friends. You cut people off in your family. And at the end of the day, it's still you. And you start to realize you still have that problem.
Right. That's what you call a little bit of narcissism.
Just a little. I think it's a little
just
bit more.
A little, just a smidge, Kenneth.
Yeah. Yeah. So after the self-help books and realizing how bad I was and how weak I was and how many weaknesses I had. I identified five weaknesses that I felt like was that contributed to my demise. And that was like my professionalism, my empathy, my reliability, my caring for others, and me being honest. All those things were like hard. And that's what I started to work on. So week after week, I'll only work on one, being more professional, even in a prison setting, be more professional and hold yourself to a higher standard. And once I started to do that, I started to live these values. And those values became a part of my company because I said, you know what? If I'm going to live this, I have to eat this, breathe this, and see it every single day. And so once I got out of prison, I continued to hold those same values and started the company and realized that I can help people in that same way, not only building the company, but building people's confidence.
And how awesome. How awesome that. So how is it that you were able to start a company when you're just coming out of prison?
Determination, first of all. I was reading a lot of books about the logistics industry, the trucking industry. Then as soon as I got out, I already had a plan. My plan was already written down. I had three business plans. When you have time, you can do that.
And business plans take a while.
They do. Prison sentences take a while too.
Yeah. Yes, you're right.
I just started within a month of getting out of prison. I already had my money set aside from being in work release and the infrastructure for my support system. I had a place to go to once I got out because of my girlfriend, and just started. And I made mistakes and I continue to make mistakes, but I know that I'll never make that ultimate mistake that I made to put me in that position anymore. And that's what keeps me resilient. And that's how fear bounces off of me.
You're armored up now.
Yes, I am. I take some hits, but it won't stop.
Yeah, exactly. You'll take some hits because we're all going to take some hits. It's life.
It is.
We're not a single one of us is going to get through this life without taking a few hits and getting knocked down a few times.
Right. It's like buying brand new tires and not driving. They're supposed to wear out.
That's right. So enjoy the ride.
Enjoy the ride. Exactly. Don't worry about the tires wearing out. When they wear out, you get new ones. You continue to build. But you have to think about all those experiences that you had while that tire was wearing down. And that's how I feel my life is.
And you have to take the lessons as they come and recognize them for lessons.
Exactly. You do. Because we're not, failure is not a person. It's a situation, something that happens, and just keep moving forward.
Fail forward.
Fail forward. Yes.
There you go. There you go. I know I've done that a few times. Then you look back and you're like, was that really a failure or was it just a lesson? I prefer to look at it as lessons because I don't want to look in the mirror and call myself a failure at the end of the day. I'll be like, I just like to look in the mirror and say, all right, you did the best that you could. And wow, that was a bumpy one, Kim, but we got through it.
Right. You know? Like, what can I do tomorrow to be better?
Exactly. Just want to be a little bit better tomorrow than I was today.
Yeah, exactly.
So how long has, well, what is it? 2020, you said you started your company in 2020. That was right before or in the midst of, you have to let me know, of, you know, when the world changed. So how did you start a company in the midst of like worldwide chaos?
Well, first of all, I started by being crazy.
Well, you have to be a little crazy.
Got to be a little crazy. So I got the business incorporated in January, and then around, I think, April, the COVID happened, and that's when I was like, this is the perfect time to get it, to launch everything. And because I wanted to do it where it was an even playing field, everybody was down, the economy was tanking. So it's like, I'm just going to be, even though I'm at day one, I'm still equal with everybody else. And so I just went and did it.
Could you explain to my listeners, because they might not know, what a logistics company is?
Yes. So a logistics company is someone who helps manage transportation. So you have your businesses and then you have your truckers. What your job is to do is to try to find the pain points of your businesses and get the right equipment for them to transport their freight.
So you have to build up a very, very large network, not only of businesses, but of transportation companies and different types of transportation, correct?
Yes. You're always talking to someone. You're always building relationships. And without those relationships, you don't have a business.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I hear you there, brother. You're speaking my language there. I get it. So logistically, though, for the companies, like transportation? Is it trucking? Is it shipping? You know, what types of, do you work with, you know, like the UPSs and the FedExes of the world?
Yeah, so we don't work with the UPSs, but we do work with the FedExes only on the big trucks, so the semi trucks. So we do freight that way. We do all ground transportation. So when things come from the ship to the port, we pick it up from the port and we deliver throughout the whole country.
Awesome.
It's fun. Awesome.
Are you all central, like in a brick and mortar building, or do you have folks that work for you remotely from across the country?
Well, I'm a solo entrepreneur, so I'm doing everything
You're
on my
doing
own.
It all.
I'm doing it all.
I can understand that too. I'm raising my hand. I know you can't see me, folks that are listening, but I'm raising my hand too. Solopreneur here.
Yeah.
Do everything. And it's a lot. And that's all right. Here's another question then. So I know I can only go by my own experience. How much is involved in doing your own thing and doing everything on your own, such as the marketing, all of the social media, graphic design, you know, making videos, you know, if you need stuff like that, writing content, recording content, editing videos, all of those hats that you have to wear. Do you have your days where you're just like, this is, I'm just tired. I'm just tired.
I mean, that's every day, isn't it?
Yeah. But we don't admit it out loud.
We don't. But there was those times I'm like, 4 o'clock, I can't do it anymore. But yeah, so I found a way to organize my life with a daily planner. And I have to go in that daily planner the day before. And I got to say, this is what I'm doing. And this is what I'm not doing. And that's the only way, because if not, I find myself doing 20 things, but never completing anything.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. No. Yeah. Running that little rat race. Yes. I was doing the same thing because I started doing my own thing the same time that you did.
Oh, nice. Congratulations on being crazy as me.
I know. Crazy train. All right.
Let's go.
I know. So I tell people I'm the conductor of it. And I have a train whistle. So every once in a while, I don't know if you've ever heard them, but they sound exactly like a train. And someone had gifted it to me years ago. And so every once in a while, I'll blow the train whistle with my friends or family. And they'll be like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm the conductor of the train. The crazy train's on the move, man.
I like that.
Yeah. Get yourself a train whistle, Kenneth.
Yeah, I'm going to get one now.
They're fun. They're great fun. So 4 years into this company, you're a solopreneur. You're doing all the things and all the things and all the things. What do you see for yourself, say, a year from now?
From a year from now, I want to be a freight forwarder. So where I'm actually helping the product come in with the paperwork.
Oh, okay.
Yes, because my ultimate goal is to become an ocean carrier. So to own ships. And so the process is starting with
you
the
want
ground.
To be a magnet.
Yes.
A ship magnet.
Yes.
You rock be the on. Sword, I be the ship. I'll cheer you on.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's what an awesome goal. Yeah, I have no doubt that you'll get there.
Thank you. Thank you.
No doubt that you'll get there. So you also mentor, which was mentioned in your bio. How is it that you do that? And you public speak as well, you said. So how did that all come about?
That actually came out coming from prison. Well, if we go back to the beginning days, my mom said I talked a lot. So I figured I need to do something with that.
It's a skill.
It's a skill, right? All that talking led to this. Just actually posting on LinkedIn and talking about my story. People reached out to me, and one of the directors of the Boys and Girls Club reached out to me. We built a relationship up now to where if they have events, I come and I speak with the kids. I mentor them. I talk about my story. And I mean, I'm raw as I can be, because it's usually in those areas where those things typically happen. So I'm just, this is not rare in different areas. It's something that happens all the time. Somebody's brother, somebody's uncle, sometimes somebody's mom or some aunt. So for me to go in there and speak to them about, hey, this is what happened and this is what I did to change, but this is also how you do not do it. Because talking to the adults is one thing, but talking to kids, let's get them before they start to make those bad decisions.
Yeah.
And so just going to those places, Boys and Girls Clubs and different events to talk to kids is my true passion.
I was just going to say that's become a big part of your heart, hasn't it?
It has. It has.
And see, you're right where you're meant to be. And you couldn't be here unless you were where you were at before.
Yes.
Because otherwise you wouldn't have had that epiphany when you looked in the mirror.
No. And then what am I going to tell these kids? I'm doing the same things. I'm doing the bad things. You have to be able to recognize those faults, go through your troubles, and own up to those mistakes so you can say, hey, this is who I am now, but this is who I used to be.
Right. Because there's no lost cause.
No, there's not. There's really not. I wore my tires out and I got new ones.
There you go. I love that analogy.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so important to me that I changed the word. I said earlier, the word values, the C was care. I changed that to community because that's how passionate I am about it. And caring to me is community.
You and I had talked off mic before we hit record. I'm all about that, helping and volunteering my time. I'm an advocate for veterans. So that's where my time goes. Community. And you build it. You build it as you go. And that's also relationship building in there, because if you're helping someone else up, I've always said, I'm not a hand out. I'm not giving you a handout, but I will give you a hand up.
I like that.
There's a big difference between the two. And I'm sure you've run into folks that they just want a handout. They're not ready to have a hand up.
Yes. The most people I run into, I'm trying to give the hand and they don't want it.
Yes. They're not ready. Right.
And it frustrates me because I'm trying to help the world and you can't help everybody, especially the ones that don't want to be helped. And so it's hard for me to just sit back and wait and just wait for them to come around because I guess I'm so hard on myself that I'm harder on people too.
I can resonate with that comment. Yeah, I can resonate with that. I am one of those ones who wants to jump in and help too. And then I've realized and learned, Kim, you got to stop yourself, because if they're going to fall, they're going to fall. Because they're not going to learn unless they do.
Exactly.
You can't save the world. But then you know what? I looked in the mirror one day, and because I had actually had someone say to me in not a nice tone, why do you think you're so good that you can save the world? And I remember that hit me hard. It was like a very vulnerable moment for me, and it hit me hard. And later on that day in the evening, I realized, whoa, whoa, Kim, that's not you. You can't take that on. You got to let that stuff bounce. So when I was looking in the mirror, I was like, Kim, can you change the world? And I said, no, I can't change the world, but ... I can change my small slice of the world.
Yes, you can.
And so that's my focus, because it's all going to, you know, people will pay it forward and it just ripples out. And I'm thinking, you know, picture that lake when you toss that pebble in and all those ripples and the sun's shining down and it's sparkling and it's like diamonds. What a beautiful picture that is. What a beautiful picture that is.
It is very nice.
So why can't I be the pebble tosser?
And just a little pebble.
That's right. You have no idea where those ripples are going to land on, you know, you have no idea. And it's just amazing. And I love what you're doing as a mentor and a speaker, you know, with the Boys and Girls Club and other organizations that you mentioned. Do you have plans of like amping that up, or you just roll with it as it comes when people ask you?
I do have plans of amping it up. I think I'll need some help with that, because I do want to take that to be more of my career focus versus the logistics. Now, I do want to stay in the logistics and help out companies, but I also want to help out people. So I think those are two different prongs to this fork. And I think they're both important, but I do get my energy from speaking to children.
And yeah, I love that you said that. You get your energy from speaking to children. How awesome.
You're making me have chills now that you...
No, it's just amazing. It's amazing. I'm so glad that you're on my show.
I'm glad I am too. We can help somebody right now. Someone's going to listen to this and get that help.
Yes, exactly. And you know, and it's interesting, some of the analytics that I see, it depends, I guess, upon on the episode, but many of the episodes, the age range is 25 to 35.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which surprised me.
Yeah.
I was surprised by that. So, you know, for those folks out there, and now it doesn't matter what age you are, seriously, it doesn't matter what age you are. There's a message in here somewhere. There's little nuggets for whoever's out there listening right now. I am positive that you've heard something that was dropped, a little nugget that was tossed your way. Please tuck that in your pocket and carry it with you and remember it.
Yep.
Even if it's just looking in the mirror, you know, look in the mirror and ask yourself who you want to be. Right. Who do I want to be? Who am I meant to be?
You know, it's crazy you say with that demographic. I didn't go to prison until I was 33, 34.
So you were old enough to know better. I've got my mom hat on again.
You know, I was definitely old enough and never been in trouble or anything. And just that was 5 years of just doing the wrong thing. And they caught up with me. But I believe that being that old and making that decision, or not making the decision, but going to prison, helped me be able to see myself easier too. Because I feel like if I was younger, I would have had more negative influences in there.
Right. You might have been swayed.
Yes, because I've seen it. I've talked to guys in there. Just like, listen, just because you're 19 to 20, you think this person is a support structure. They're not. They're in here with you. How can they support you?
Yeah. Were you a mentor to the younger ones while in prison too?
I was. I never thought about that. I've never thought about that. But yes. Thank you.
That's so cool, though.
Wow.
See, you said earlier you were right where you were supposed to be at that time, which was in prison. Oh, we won't know and you won't know, but some of the younger ones that you talked to in there, I'm praying they're not there now, but maybe when they got out, they had a mind shift as well because of something you said.
I still stay connected with a few guys in there that's gotten out and doing great in their life. And still every day or every other day text me, say, thank you so much. You understand how much inspiration you are to me. So it's a great feeling.
And oh, wow.
It's better than money.
Wow. You know, what an amazing thing. What an amazing thing. Isn't it humbling for me anyway? If I hear from someone from years ago that I helped and I just seemingly randomly hear from them. And they'll be like, hey, do you remember me? And you did this and you did this. Well, now this is what I'm doing. And I have a house now and I have a car and I have a job and I'm not on drugs anymore, or I quit drinking. It's so humbling.
It really is.
It's so humbling and usually brings me to tears, and I'll just be like, wow, my dorky self said or did something that made a difference in this person's life.
Yes.
Because you don't have to be rich. You don't have to have a bunch of money and a whole bunch of resources to help someone.
You don't, just have your voice.
Exactly.
That's all you need.
And your voice can be so powerful.
Yeah, I don't know. I cry more now than I ever have because of messages like that. You just get those and you touch someone. And I also want to do it the opposite. So I reverse engineer that. And every day I'll send out 3 messages to people who helped me in my life. I don't care how long ago it was.
What an awesome, that's a little nugget right there. Sending out 3 messages. What'd you say, each day?
Each day, audio message.
You send out an audio message to someone who helped you to thank them.
Yep. That could be anything. I could have ran it to you one time, but you said something that sparked my interest or motivated me. And I want you to know that. And you may not hear from me for 8 months, but you're going to hear.
What an awesome idea. What an awesome idea. Yeah. Take note of that, folks out there listening, because that's a great thing. I've often told myself, Kim, you've got to do this more. Reach out via text. Just to say, hey, thinking of you today. Or hope your day, is going well for you. Just something to reach out to folks that I know that are struggling. And we all know someone who's struggling.
We do.
We all do. And sometimes it's our own selves, And I have found, I want to ask you this, see if it's the same for you. I have found when I'm in my own struggle, because I live with PTSD. So some days are better than others. We'll just put it that way. And I find if I'm in a poopy day, reaching out to someone else to help, or just sending out a motivational or inspirational, whether it's a quote or, hey, listen to this song. This is just awesome. Or there's a great message in this. And I'll toss it out to someone who I know has been struggling. And that takes a little bit of the weight off of me, or lifts a little bit of that darkness. Do you find that's the same for you on occasion?
Yes, that's a very good point. It's kind of selfish of me, but when I do feel down, I have to go motivate somebody else so I can pick myself up. And at the end of the day, I'm picking up 4 people. Those 3 people I messaged and myself.
Right. There's, you know, and I've noticed over the years that those who have went through some sort of trauma or big life struggle, those are the ones, for the most part, I've found that are the most empathetic, the most caring, and the most helpful. The ones that are the first to say, I'll help, or I've got this. Yeah, here, take this if this helps you. Or, you know, hey, you need help with that? Yeah, I'll help you with that. Have you found that, or do you see that in yourself?
Yeah, I do. I really do. I listen to Ed Milet, which is a motivational speaker, and he always says you're most capable to help someone who of the person you used to be. And I think that's perfect what you just said. Like, because we've been through that, we know what it is. We are that. We've been that person. Let me help you now.
Yes, your help. Okay, say that again. I forgot the words already.
You're most capable to help a person of who you used to be.
That is so powerful. You know, that's worth putting on a sticky note and shoving it on your bathroom mirror.
It really is. I mean, I like quotes, so I wouldn't be able to see the mirror anymore if I did
I
that.
know, me too. Me too.
Let me lift this piece up so I can see how my hair looks today.
Right. You have to, yeah, flip it up to see how you look. Right.
Yeah.
I have a quote that I have on a sticky note that it's on my wall, so it's above my computer screen. So as soon as I sit down each day, I look up and I see it, and it says your success rate for getting through the tough stuff is 100%.
Nice. I like
Because you're
that.
still here.
Yeah, that's it. You're still here. You got to every day. That's my gratitude. It's like something didn't go right yesterday. I got today. That's it. It's
That's
like
right. Because why worry about and dwell on yesterday? You can't change it.
it's over.
Right. And another thing, a friend of mine, actually, she was my fourth grade teacher. And she called me up one day out of the blue and said, hey, are you going to be in town anytime? And I said, well, on my lunch hour, I might be. She just stopped by my shop. She's a fabric artist. And she said,
Okay.
stop by my shop. I've got something for you. I hadn't heard from her in so long. And so I stopped by her shop and I was like, hi, you know, what's going on? And she goes, I have, and she's a very strong Christian. And she said, God laid your name on my heart today. And I said, oh, okay. And she goes, well, and I'm supposed to give you this. And it was a piece of her fabric art framed simply in the word was trust.
Wow.
And I hadn't heard from her in so long. I was going through a really hard time at that time in my life, really difficult. And I said, thank you, but what's with the trust? And she goes, it's been laid on my heart. This is what I'm supposed to tell you today. You cannot trust and worry at the same time.
Wow.
I broke down in tears, and I have that hanging. She gave it to me years ago. It's hanging in my dining room. So each evening when I sit down to eat, I look up and I see that as the reminder. You can't trust and worry at the same time.
That's amazing. That's so profound. And it's so true. As soon as you said it, I'm like, that's actually what I do. If I trust something, I don't worry about it.
Right. Yes. See, that's another sticky note worthy thing to put down.
I told you we won't have a mirror left if we keep this up.
I
Somebody's right now is like, hold on, rewind that back. No, I need
know.
that one.
Yeah.
Rewind that back. I need that one.
Maybe I should tell people at the beginning of my shows that get your sticky note pad ready so you can write all these nuggets down to stick them on your bathroom mirror.
Right. And order a new mirror because that one's going to be full.
That's right. That's right. Get just, you know, surround your mirror with a cork board. Well,
Yeah. It
that'd be interesting look for a bathroom, wouldn't it?
would be.
Oh, Kenneth, this has been awesome. This has been an awesome conversation. We're going to get ready to wrap up here. I do want to ask if I can have you back on, though, sometime.
Of course.
I would definitely love to have you back on because there's other things I want to dig into just a little bit deeper because I am positive you're just filled with nuggets of hope that you can toss out there to everybody. Speaking of which, I ask all of my guests at the end of the show to toss out a nugget of hope to the listeners, something that they can tuck away in their pocket and carry with them.
Okay. Well, I always say, and this is something that I came up with after going through so many struggles, to not let a setback be a reason to sit down.
Ooh, good one. Another sticky note worthy quote.
Yeah.
We got to make a t-shirt.
Yes. Don't let a setback be a reason to sit down. We all get setbacks and we sit down and then we can never overcome that. But if we just stand up to that occasion and say, you know what? It doesn't matter. I'm not sitting down. I'm moving forward. Then we keep moving. And then that setback is in the past. It's behind us.
Awesome. That is probably one of the better nuggets I've heard in a while. Thank you so much for sharing that and tossing that out into the universe. I appreciate it. And I know it's landing right where it's supposed to land right now. I can feel it.
And it's 100% organic.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Oh my goodness. This has been such an awesome conversation. Thank you so much once again for being my guest today, Kenneth.
Thank you, Kim.
And everybody out there, I hope that you got as much out of this conversation as I did. And stay tuned each Wednesday, folks. New episodes drop. So on any of your favorite listening platforms, as well as YouTube. So hop on over there, folks, and like and subscribe. This is Kim Langling, your host. Everybody be well, stay well, and be blessed. And that is a wrap, my fearless friends. Thanks for bouncing along with me on another episode of Let Fear Bounce. I hope you're feeling a bit motivated and ready to take on any challenge that might come your way in the coming days. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode of Let Fear Bounce. Tune in each week for your dose of inspiration from my amazing guests from all over the world. So until next time, keep bouncing forward and stay fearless, my friends. Everybody be well, stay well, and above all, be blessed.